I, along with David Paul, would like to say that we appreciate so much our helpers, our workers here in the Lord. The Bible speaks of ministry, of the fivefold ministry, and it speaks of the gifts, and it speaks of helps, it speaks of governments. There's numbers of things that's involved in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as to bringing his kingdom into the earth. And the musicians have done so wonderfully trying to be faithful and loyal in helping us. I want you to know I certainly appreciate that from my heart. And I think that our cameramen I believe they're some of the finest I've ever seen, some of the best. They're very cooperative. And I noticed that even the man here that's filming on the platform, he never seems to get in the way of the anointing or whatever. And yet he's always on the job to try to film everything that comes forth in the singing and preaching and whatever to the best of his ability. Which I think that's wonderful. People who labor sincerely trying to do something for Christ, they need to be complimented because the work of God is great in the earth today. The harvest is ripe. Jesus said, the laborers are few. So then pray that God will send forth laborers into his vineyard all around the world. We're engaged continually in frontier evangelism, and this takes us all over the world, and it takes us into some dangerous places. We've been fortunate. I have been into places where just sometime before I went in, others were killed. Missionaries were killed that went in. But by a wonderful blessing of God and by the grace of God, I survived with my life. And wherever I have gone, from here into South America, Central America, into Russia, throughout Europe, wherever I go, the Lord always takes care of us. He always takes care of us. I appreciate that. You're concerned about God taking care of his ministry. I think that's wonderful. We have radio programs. We've done radio programs, TV programs, crusades, whatever. And we have a radio program that goes continually into the islands, all throughout the islands. And we get a tremendous response from these things. And people write and say that this is a lifeline to them. And they are really enthused over the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, tonight, I would like to talk to you just a little bit from the Word of the Lord. And as I say, when I am in these crusades, I can't bring forth the revelation of the Son of God as to the deep mysteries. I have to stay mostly with the word of repentance and of encouraging people in their faith. So I try to take a simple message, something that's simple to where you can understand it and to where I can encourage your faith. Tonight, I'd like to read just a little bit from chapter 7, it's over in the book of St. Matthew's. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. The Lord is telling the people here that they should not judge one another. The Bible tells us that we should not judge one another. We should not judge another man's servant, for to God he standeth or he falleth. So then, we are not to judge one another, we are to love one another. See, the thing that we need to do is to love one another. See, the commandment of the Lord was that we should love one another. This is the problem in the world today, is people do not love as they should love. I know that we say that we love one another, but the Bible said we are to love in deed and not in word. We are to have love not as for one another, but we are to have love as to one another. That is, if I have something and you don't have something to eat, then I need to share with you. If I have clothing and you don't have clothing, Jesus said, then let him that hath two coats share. John taught this in his teachings. That they should share with one another. So then tonight, the Lord hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants us to love one another. It is not God's will that we should fight one another. Why should the people in the Philippines fight somebody that's over here in another country. Why should they do that? See, God is not the God of war. He is the God of peace. He is the God of love. Jesus said, the Prince of Peace. I'm the Prince of Peace. I've come that you may have life abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. So then we know that God is with us, and we know that God is for us, and we know that God wants peace throughout the world. See, there's no reason why we should fight. But beloved friend, there's one thing that we need to consider. It's at this very moment that Mr. Gorbachev is traveling around the world, and he is looking for a peace treaty. And there are others that are traveling around the world. We read it in the papers. And they are looking for peace treaties. Mr. Bush, I understand, was in the Manila area not too long ago and having conference with your leader here. See, they're looking for peace. And this is wonderful. I think that's wonderful. They should search for peace. They should love their people and be an example of peace unto their people. But there is no peace. There is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. It doesn't matter how much they search for peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And the only peace that we're going to have is in the Lord Jesus. I was sitting at a conference table X amount of months ago over in India. While I was sitting there, we had went in to breakfast, having gone into this area. We sit down. It was a long table. Different people was there from around the different parts of the world. And there was one lady there that was of renown, sitting at the end of the table, that was in charge of it. And I sat there, and I listened at different ones comment. And as I listened at them comment, I waited for her comments. And when she commented, she began to speak in a derogative way as concerning the United States and the leaders of the United States. And I sat and I listened very carefully to her. And when she finished, I did not try to insult her. I said, lady, I said, you're wrong. I said, you're mistaken. I'm from the United States. I said, and I know for sure that what you're saying is propaganda, and that it doesn't have any strength at all. I said, and you're sitting here before this conference and before these people, and you are elaborating freely as to your feelings and what you think about the situation when I'm here and I know exactly the condition of it. And I said, you know what? I said, I travel around the world. That makes my voice to be heard in many places, and I have to be very careful as to what I say. I said, and you are a person of renown in India. I said, and you should be very careful of what you sow. Very detrimental to world peace and world union if you say the wrong thing. And of course, she realized that she was wrong, and she seemed to be very grieved over the situation. But I step back to say this. A lot of times we judge when we shouldn't judge. We say things that we really don't understand. We just find something to run with. We find something to conference over. And we begin to say things about one another, or about different organizations or different religious bodies. Or we say things that we ought not to say, not understanding what we say a lot of times. We say things concerning the different nationality of people and different nations. Over the radio, they do this very freely. Even in the United States, a lot of times the news medias will come out with something, and they want to get it right on the press while it's hot. And so then they come out with something. And when they come out with something, they don't have it right. In a few days, they have to go to correct it. And then another paper will correct it again. And by the time it gets down to the people, they don't know what to think because it's so mixed up and so messed up. People trying to commercialize at the hurts of individuals, and it really displeases God. I myself have worked at a newspaper office. I used to be involved in the newspaper business to that extent. And I know that a lot of times the news media only seek to get a story. As one of their leading men told me in India, one of their great leaders came out as from the news media. And I talked with him, and he fell under conviction.
And he said to me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, the news meters are not for anything except to get some kind of story, some kind of sensation that they can publish, and they don't care about it at all. And this was one of their leading men, and that's true, folks. Not all news medias, not all newsmen. My ministry has been covered by news medias all over the different parts of the nation and the world, by television, by radio, by many newspapers, and we've been on the front page. God has blessed us to be on the front page of the biggest newspaper in the world. But I'm only saying this one thing, that even though this is true, that news media, sometimes there are good men and sometimes there are good women that take the stories. We just had a news coverage not just a few days back. The lady was a wonderful news coverer and she gave a wonderful write-up that was very encouraging. But at other instances, we've had them to just trample over the Word of God and like a bunch of wild beasts trying to make money at the hurt and expense of souls. And God is going to visit for these kind of things. So we need to be careful when we say something. We need to be careful how we judge. If it's the news media, if it's the president, if it's some celebrity, whatever it might be, they are a voice in the earth. And they should be very careful as to what they publish and what they say. Because God is going to hold them accountable for these different things that they're doing around the world. So it is in Manila, so as it is in the United States. So I said that again to say this, beloved friend, that we should not judge one another. We should love one another. We should seek the truth. Our motto of mankind should be, not that you are guilty until you are proved innocent, as the law says. That ought not to be. But it should be that you are innocent until you are proved guilty. You are innocent in the sight of God until you are proved guilty, and it should be that way around the world. We shouldn't be rising up against people. We shouldn't be accusing people. We shouldn't be judging people. We've got a job to do, and that job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when we have done our job to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then after that we can look at them and see what they're going to do. But beloved friend, until we give them the opportunity to hear the gospel, then we cannot look for peace in the world. For there is no peace to the wicked. The Bible said the wicked is ever like the ocean casting up the mire upon the bank. That their prayers are abomination in the sight of God. Their offerings are abomination in the sight of God. He said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. For he said, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. So then I tell you tonight, the Bible says, why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, when we have a beam in our own eye? He said, thou hypocrite. First, we are to get the beam out of our eye, and then we will see clearly how to get the mote out of our brother's eye. All right, so then we see, we can tell that God is for us, and God is not just for the people of Manila. He's not just for the people of the United States, but he is for the people of the world. See, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whether it's the black, whether it's the red, whether it's the yellow, whether it's the white, whether it's one nationality or another nationality, whether it's one religious group or another religious group, it doesn't matter. Somebody would say, but God did not intend, Brother Pike, for us to preach the gospel to certain religious groups. I don't know where you get that. Someone would say, well, when it's the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, the UPC, when it's the non-denominationals, when it's the Catholics, whatever it might be, Church of Christ, Church of Science, that God didn't intend for us to preach the gospel to all of them, then why did God say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Why did God tell us to preach the gospel to every creature? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it doesn't matter if you preach to the Catholic people. They're not going to listen to you. They've got their own way of life. Well, why was it that, as I said the other night, when I preached to this great Catholic priest, he repented of his sins. He was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and went out to tell the wonderful story of God. Hallelujah. Why did he do that? Because he was a preacher. We've had Baptist people converted to the faith. We've had Catholic people converted to the faith. We've had the Pentecostal people converted to the faith. We've had what you call the Assemblies of God converted to the faith. We've had the Church of God converted to the faith. We've had all kinds of people throughout the entire world converted to the faith. Someone would say, what do you mean, preacher, converted to the faith? I mean to the Word of God. For the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and that we're to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith, because there's no faith outside the Word of God. Let me tell you something, folks. Now, this might sound a little bit strange, but I want to say something to you tonight. It doesn't matter what sect of religion that you belong to. It doesn't matter what nationality or people that you are as to your language. It doesn't matter. Listen now. It doesn't matter how much you believe. Even if you believe in God, even if you believe there is a God, it doesn't matter how much you believe or what sect of religion you belong to. It does not mean that you are a Christian. You may believe, you may really believe, but that doesn't mean that you are a Christian. You cannot be saved merely by believing. There's no way you can be saved just by merely believing. The Bible said if you believe, that's good. If you believe, that's good. But the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. But the devil also believes. Did you know that devils believe? Did you know that devils believe, but devils aren't going to be saved? It doesn't matter if you believe. God doesn't save us by believing. He saves us by faith. And faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you've heard in your lifetime or what you believe. It's what the Word of God says and to whether or not you believe the Word of God. Believing the Word of God, that is faith. And when you believe the Word of God, you can have salvation. So then, by the Word, God created the heavens and the earth by the Word. And the Bible tells us that God spoke this world into existence, creating Adam and Eve by the Word. And the Bible said he upholds all things by the Word. And the Bible said he sent his Word and healed them. And he sent his Word and cast out the unclean spirits. And he sent his Word unto salvation and saved them. So then faith in the Word tonight is what saves you and what saves me. And let me say this to you tonight. A lot of times we can be a blind guide and we can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Why don't we believe the Word tonight? See, we have got to remember, friend, that it is important that we keep a clear conscience. Paul said, I strive always, keeping my conscience void of offense toward man and God. And we're told that where these things are as to the atonement of the blood, there is no conscience of sin. And Peter said it is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves you. It is the answer of a good conscience toward God. He said, and that by baptism, as it was in the days of Noah, when 8 people were saved is by water, the like figure, he said, whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So then we must live in a good conscience. For me to have a good conscience, I must love you. For you to have a good conscience, you must love me. For us to have a good conscience before man and God, we must share it with one another. We must do the thing that's necessary to unite the body of Christ. We must hold our tongues. The Bible said the tongue is a little member. It is set on fire by the course of hell. And the Bible said, what a great, great fire a little matter kindleth. You can just do a little bit of talking here, and it'll reach from Manila clear into the United States. You can do a little talking over in the United States, and it'll reach from there over into Manila. Did you know that we have had people to say things in the past? Just a few words, and within a few days, all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast it went. And would you believe that it came clear over the waters into this part of the country or another part of the country just by a few words that somebody spoke? I know this for true because I've encountered it many times. So then it's necessary tonight that we hold our peace, that we don't have an unruly tongue. The Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. So, you know, I remember when Johnny Lee, over in Korea, I believe it was, but somewhere this boy by the name of Johnny Lee, friend, the enemy came in and attacked these people. Johnny Lee, I believe it was, said, "I had never seen such a horrible thing in my life." He said, "I saw them take something and fasten it into the end of a human tongue." He said, "And they stretched the human tongue, put the person down on their face, stretched the human tongue, and then drove a nail through the human tongue and fastened them to the floor." A horrible thing for them to strangle to death on their own blood. See, the enemy coming in. So then, let us be filled with the love of God. Let's get the beam out of our own eye before we try to judge our brother. All of us are justified by the grace of God and by faith. I'm saved by faith, by the grace of God, not anything that I've done. For let me tell you, I try to live holy every day, for the Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. I try to live perfect before God. The Bible speaks of being righteous. The Bible speaks of being holy. And I want to be holy before God. And I try to live perfect before God every day. I try to watch every deed that I do. I try to watch every word that I say. I try to watch every thought that I think. I ask God for the forgiveness of the intents of my heart and the reflex of my body. Because I want to be clean in God's sight. I don't want anything to hinder my faith. And we're supposed to go on to perfection as to this body submitting to God and doing the things of God that brings eternal life. We're supposed to do that. So then tonight, we're looking for eternal life. But we are children of God. If I therefore have been saved by the grace of God, then why is it that I cannot give grace unto you? If God has allowed me grace, why can't I give grace unto you? You know why? Jesus gave a little parable one time, a little story. And he said there was a king, and he was going to take stock of his stewards. He was going to check up. And as he began to check up, said he found one of his stewards that had been unfaithful to him and had squandered his goods. So he told the man, "You must come." And he told him to bring the wife and children, all the whole family. He said, "And I'm going to punish you for taking my goods." So when the man came before the king, he began to plead with the king, and he began to beseech the king. And he said, "O king," he said, "be merciful to me." He said, "If you will be merciful to me, I will pay all to you." And the king said, "Because thou hast desired me, I'm going to let you go free. I'm going to give you a chance to pay this." Now the Bible said the same steward went out and found someone that owed him. And when he found this individual that was in debt to him, he said unto him, "I want you to pay me. I want you to pay me what you owe me." And the man said, "Be merciful to me," and said, "I'll try to pay you all." But the Bible said he grabbed him by the collar of the throat, and he threatened him and said, "Cast him into prison until he gives me all, or make him pay up." So then the Bible said there was some servants standing close by that heard this, and it grieved them because they knew that the king had forgiven him all of his wrong. And so then they went back and they told the king. And the king called for the man, said, "I want to see him again." So they brought the same unjust servant before the king. And the king looked at him and said, "Because thou desirest me, I forgave thee all of thy debt." He said, "And then you've gone out and taken your servant, and you've commanded that he give everything a pay up, unless you deliver him to prison." He said, "Because you've done this," he said, "I'm going to deliver you to the tormentors till you pay everything that you owe." So then, friend, tonight, God has forgiven you all. God has forgiven you your indebtedness, and he tells you not to be bitter. Beware, lest a root of bitterness springing up within you, thereby many be defiled. So then, judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not another man's servant, for to God he standeth or he falleth. Don't go behind closed doors and say something about the minister, or say something about the laity, or say something about a brother and sister in Christ. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. The Bible said, speak evil of no man. Did you know the Bible said that when Michael was disputing over the body of Moses, that he brought not railing accusation against Satan, but just said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan? So then tonight, we want to love one another, for love is of God. And we should love one another indeed. We should spend our time searching out, praying for people, fasting for people, trying to help the weak. Let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak, that we all might be one great unit in Christ, that we might love one another. For love is as strong as death. And tonight, I want eternal life. Don't you want to live forever? Would you like to live forever? That's why I'm preaching to you. This is words of life. That if you can hear these words and believe these words, or believe on him that has sent me to you, then if you receive me, whom God has sent, the Bible said you receive God. And so then when you receive me, as Paul said, you receive me as the Lord himself, and would have plucked out your eyes for me. So then, doing this as unto the least, you do it as unto God. And the Bible said to submit yourselves one to another. Pray one for another. And esteem others better than yourself. And look on the things of another. Don't look on the things of your own. Don't magnify yourself. Magnify somebody else. And see the good things in their life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You're a good audience. We're here tonight to encourage you. Whatever it might be, whatever place in life that you hold, then do it with all diligence as unto the Lord. Can you do that? Do it as unto the Lord with all diligence as to love the Lord. Daniel was a great leader. The Hebrew children were a great leader down in Babylon. But the light that was so great from Daniel and the Hebrew children shook the entire kingdom. Now, three minds that we're dealing with. Three minds, I want that to really penetrate tonight. Now, three minds. There is only one brain, just one brain for those three minds to use. Just one brain. That is your human brain. There is a mind that is an ugly, degraded mind of Satan. There is a godly mind, which is to the other extreme, which is a holy, lovable mind. And then there is the mind of humanity, that is the mind of necessity. I want to say something right hurriedly concerning this. That degraded mind of Satan, it speaks to your brain through thought waves. Because you are born into this world with five human senses, and these senses are relative to life, natural life. And Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. He is the prince of this world. He desires the things that be of the flesh. So then he is in this world. Now, this mind of Satan, it speaks to you through thoughts. It uses your brain. It uses your brain. You're relative to this power by your five senses. And this mind speaks to you. And it uses your brain to work through, to control your members, to cause you to do wrong, or to do somebody wrong, or to indulge in things that you ought not. On the other hand, there is the mind of Christ. This mind seeks to be within you. It seeks to be within you. You are born in sin, and in Adam all die, and in your flesh, Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing. Your human senses is constantly recording evil and the lust of the flesh from Lucifer, the god, the prince of this world. But there is the other mind, which is another life, which is another spirit. And this life is the life of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of love, the mind of compassion, the mind of cleanliness, the mind of pureness, the mind that loves the ways of God and the things of God, that wants to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. And this mind is speaking to you, and is speaking to you in thought, and it's working through your brain. That's the only brain it has to work through. When God created mankind upright in the garden, he intended to interweave himself with the spirit of man and live in man and work through man and make man a god, something that could never die, and give him a paradise to live in, to where he'd never have problems. But Lucifer, through the weakness of the woman Eve, he entered into Eve. And Adam, though the Bible said he wasn't in the transgression, yet he had to follow his wife to provide for her, to take care of her. So he fell from the presence of God. And today all people die as being born in Adam. All people are born with that infiltration of Lucifer's contrariness to God that has taken away eternal life from man. Remember this. Let me say this hurriedly. Man did not have eternal life in the garden. See, if he had eternal life, he could have never died. He was overshadowed with the Shekinah glory, illuminated with the Shekinah glory of God, and had he abode in that Shekinah glory, he would have still been living. But today it's not so with the saints of God. You and I are not overshadowed as in the world. The Shekinah is upon them as the grace because of the blood being on the seat of atonement. But beloved friend, tonight we're born to the Shekinah. You've got the Shekinah glory within you. Eve had it over her and could be enticed away by the beastly part. But you're born to the Shekinah. Your spirit on the inside is born to the Shekinah. And the devil can never take you away from God. The Bible said you keep yourselves and the evil one toucheth you not. You're without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Now let's say this. Those two minds are working, one contrary to the other, to get control of your spirit, of your mind. Your mind is the mind of necessity. That is, we eat, we drink, we go to sleep, we get up, we go to our jobs, we do whatever comes naturally to do in life. Because that is the mind of man. Nothing wrong with that mind. And there's nothing wrong with the mind of God. The mind of man and the mind of God is supposed to be one. But the mind of Satan is a spirit of iniquity. It's the middle wall of partition. It's what Jesus went to Calvary to defeat, to where it would be out of us. That is the mind of death, the mind of sorrow, the mind of sickness, the mind of poverty, the mind of pride, the mind of the lust of the flesh, the mind of the gullible desires of the world. Jesus went to Calvary to eradicate that. So tonight, be careful. Careful as to how you use your brain. Be careful of these voices that speak to you. Study the Word of God. Learn the Word of God so you can differentiate between the voice of God and the voice of Satan. Remember, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. For the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all of those things are of the world, and the world passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Can you give the Lord a hand? All right, I wish we had more time to elaborate tonight and to go through these things. It took just a little bit longer because it's the last night of the crusade. And I wish I had time to elaborate, to break these things down, and to detail them very carefully to the children, the babes in Christ, to where they could understand what we're saying. But I'm sure that some of you understand what we're saying here, and perhaps somehow or another we'll be able to get back with you someday and tutor a little more. We've got thousands, I suppose, many hundreds of tapes at home where we've ministered, and in some of these we've been privileged to be with people that have grown up a little bit in the Lord, and we've been able to put on tape some of the spiritual deep mysteries of the revelation of the Son of God, and something concerning these things also as to the minds and how to differentiate. See, let me say this in closing tonight as to our sermonette here. I can stand here tonight. If I have the ability to differentiate between the three minds as to the mind of Lucifer, the mind of God, and the mind of man, if I can do that, then that means I can perceive your spirit. The Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. Many times I perceive people's thoughts and I know what they're thinking. They don't say a word, but I perceive their thoughts and I can tell what they're thinking. I do that in the spirit. See, and if I'm able to tell the difference between these three minds, then if I go to pray for you up here and I look at you and I take a little time with you, which we do that sometimes when we have time to do that, then I can tell what you're thinking. And I can tell that some of the things that's happened in your lifetime or some of the things that you're going to run into in the future. And I can talk to you about these things and I can tell you what mind is speaking to you. See, like I would say to somebody out here, I would call somebody and say, this person over here, thus and thus and thus, because I could differentiate between these three minds and tell what mind is speaking to them and what kind of condition they're in. We've done this many times in our life. So then tonight, I want us to learn to understand the mind of the Lord, apply ourselves, give ourselves to studying the Word and understanding the Word of God so the gifts of the Spirit and the things of God can work through us and we can help others along the way. And they'll see Christ in our life and they'll rejoice and they'll look in that direction and you can become a light to those all around you. Let's give the Lord one more hand. Can I have a swallow of water, brother? Let's stand together. Can you stand with me? All right. So then we know the main thing that we must do in our life, the major thing that we must do, the thing that's essential to our salvation is that we love one another, that we keep our conscience void of offense, Paul said, toward man and toward God. And when we speak something, speak the truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. When you go to consider your brother, don't look on your brother as somebody that's lower than you are, that you've been fasting, that you've been praying, that you've been seeking God, and you're more holier than he. You know, Jesus got upset one time with Israel. He said, thou art more holier than thou. Away from me, he said. Who could be more holier than God? When he charged with Job, and Job being such a perfect man, the Bible said he was a perfect, upright man. See, and when he considered Job, Job said, I've not done anything wrong. What have I done wrong? God came face to face with Job, and he said, Job, will a man be more holier than God? And Job said, oh my God, I've sinned. A lot of things we could say about Job tonight. But I just want you to know that we're saved by grace. Just by grace. That's all. I fast. I believe in fasting. I pray because I believe in praying. I study the Word of God. As I said the other night to somebody, sometimes I've gotten down on my knees and I'd read the book of Matthew. I'd read the book of Mark. I'd read the book of John. I'd read all four Gospels before I ever get up off of my knees. I read the New Testament through on my knees.